Good morning. Good morning. Happy Monday. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. I did. I was out and about and a lot of good stuff. Hope you had a good weekend. We're going to have a great show today. We have at 11 o'clock, Tim White from WPRI. Of course, Tim has been covering organized crime for a long time. He's got a new series coming out on the now late Louis Menacchio, who was the last official, I think, boss of the New England organized crime family, known as the Patriarca family. There's a lot of discussion as to who's in charge now, but Tim White has a program coming up on Channel 12. It's going to run all week, I believe, on Louis Menacchio. Really, really good program. So he'll be here at 11 o'clock to talk a little bit about that. At 10 o'clock, those of you who pay a utility bill are going to be very interested in that. That means all of you. Paul Craney. Paul Craney runs Mass Fiscal, the Massachusetts Fiscal Alliance. We play a lot of their clips here. They recently put out a white paper on exactly why you and I are paying the utility costs that we are paying, and how the governor, as the attorney general, canceled two pipelines. On Friday, when we were broadcasting from Honeydew Donuts, we had Tim Dunn in. Tim Dunn, of course, used to be the newsman here, was down at Fox News. Now he's writing, top political reporter for the Boston Herald. Our own Tim Dunn confronted the governor. She lied. The governor of Massachusetts, Maura Healey, who many of us voted for, said she didn't cancel the pipelines. Of course, we have the video where she did say, and Mass Fiscal's been putting that out. So is that going to be her strategy? Just lie to us about what she's done and not done? Maybe. That might be the best strategy for her. So over the weekend, I was out to the Profile Tavern. Always had a good meal out there. Watched some football. Was there my good friend Lenny Mills, Christine's significant other. Really enjoying the Profile Tavern. What a great place to go to. I was there earlier last week, too. But I was there on Sunday watching the football. That's a great place to watch football. Now, last week, the city council voted for the tax shift, right? Now, remember, taxes are voted on to raise a budget to pay for what the city and the mayor has paid, has spent, right, in the city council. So then there's the shift. The shift is between the residential and the commercial. And there's been a lot of discussion here on WBSM, not just on my program, but on Barry's program. I mean, really, Tim's program. We bring you the most pertinent news and allow you to comment on it. With that in mind, Sean Oliver reached out to me late last week. I speak regularly with the counselor. Sean Oliver represents Ward 3, is here to talk about not just the tax shift vote, but I'm sure a number of other things that are going on in the city. Good morning. Happy Monday, Sean Oliver.
Happy Monday, Chris. Thank you. Like you said, anytime that you reach out to me, mm-hmm. I come in. But this time I reached out to you.
Yes.
Obviously, there's been some concerns out there about the taxes. Haven't heard, seen a whole heck of a lot in the media about it. You know, the Light, the Times. So obviously there's been some concerns that I've heard of from the residents, callers to this program. Yep.
But have an open pipeline to a lot of people throughout the city.
Oh, 100%. And so today I decided to put on my pants and I came into the studio to talk about taxes and whatever else the callers want to talk about.
Set it up for us, Sean.
Yeah, so as you alluded, taxes are basically the city spends and we have to raise.
Yes.
So in a, you could say that taxes will never decrease if spending continues to increase. Mm-hmm. I think that's a fair assessment.
Yes.
You've heard it in the chambers. I think you've said it on this station. Other hosts have said it. The tax rate didn't get set on last Tuesday night.
Nope.
The tax rate got set when we voted on the budget.
Yes.
And then there's some changes that'll happen either through appropriations and things like that. But the taxes get set when we sit down, we go through the budget. So with that being said, the council didn't cut enough to bring that down to a lower level. So going into Tuesday night, we were already doomed to vote on a tax increase. It didn't matter what the vote was. It didn't matter what shift we voted on.
Right.
Taxes were guaranteed to increase at a minimum of about $140 per average taxpayer.
Okay.
Upwards of $190 to every taxpayer. So at that point, we start to look at the shift, like you said. Yes. Where is the burden going to fall? And then obviously, you know, you want to have conversations or the mindset of, well, I want to save the residential ratepayer as much as possible, or I want to save the commercial ratepayer as much as possible, or I want to be somewhere in the middle where everybody's paying a little bit into this burden that is upon us. Right. So that's normally kind of like what a 1.72, 1.73 shift does, kind of keeps it in the middle. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it does still favor maybe one than the other. Like I said, going into that night, we were already going to be voting on an increase. So the things that I've heard out there, and some people called me and, messages from Facebook and stuff about, you know, how come this person voted on a tax increase and these people didn't vote on a tax increase. That's kind of misguided, because didn't matter what vote we took last night, any combination of six people were going to vote on a tax increase, because, like I said, going into that, we were already $140 to the ratepayer. So then you start looking at other metrics like, okay, what was our commercial and industrial growth? And we saw a decrease in that. Mm-hmm. So you have to start straddling the line or trying the balancing act of, okay, I don't want to hurt the residential ratepayer.
Right. Of which you're one.
Of which I am one. My mother's one. My grandparents, you know, and multiple friends and whatnot.
And all your voters.
But then, you know, it's tough, because people want to have both sides of the argument, where we must protect the residential ratepayer as much as possible, but we need to build, we need to expand on our commercial market and get new growth. Mm-hmm. And attract more businesses to come to the city of New Bedford.
Hear it all the time.
Well, you can't do that if you shift the burden to them all the time.
Right.
So I think you've seen, at least I've seen in the 3 years that I've been voting on the taxes, is there's some sort of middle ground that can be had. And that's where this year we voted on a 1.72. Last year we voted on a 1.73. The year before that was a 1.73 as well. And I think maybe the year before that was 1.75, but through state aid and local receipts and the council being able to cut more, folks saw a decrease in taxes in that year. So we're a little above where we want to be, and to me now that's just going to make my new goal in this new budget season to look a little deeper, cut a little deeper, and really try to build good coalitions going into the budget.
Yes.
You know, I on that night, it's a marathon of cuts. We speak on a number of things. But ultimately, what needs to happen for our taxes to decrease is a smaller budget, or no increased spending is what I'm trying to say. And still the council doing their job and diving in and making the cuts, because you can always add money later if we need to. Mm-hmm. That's our one big bite of the apple is on that night. So not to say that I didn't do it in previous years, but I'm definitely going to be making a more conscious effort to rally the troops early around making some meaningful cuts for the taxpayers.
Sean, you've been on the budget since you first got into office just a couple of years ago. Unlike some of your colleagues, who maybe don't even understand what they're voting on. My words, not yours. The fact of the matter is that the budget is set by spending. It's very disingenuous for some of your colleagues to say, oh, you know, I don't want to, you know, put it on the ratepayers. I don't want to put it on the businesses, but not vote for the spending cuts.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, like I said, that's our one bite of the apple.
Pretty good, huh?
Listen, you got a good setup here.
Don't blow it for me the way Lang did.
Some muffins and what's that, an espresso?
Espresso,
must
yeah.
be nice, must be nice.
No, you Tim got a, is a
you,
good
you,
boss.
Yeah, you got a good gig here. But on that night, I'm really going to try to compel my colleagues to vote yes. The words out of our mouths on that cut night should be yes. Because, like I said, we can put the money back if the administration shows us there's no way around it. We need this. And I think that this body has been, hasn't been, you know, too objective in the sense of, okay, if you can show us that we definitely need the money, then we put the money back. But I think on that night, most of the words that should be coming out of our mouths is yes, if we're really serious about cutting taxes, right. And then we can go back from there if we have to.
We have Ward 3 Councilor Sean Oliver here to talk about your tax bill, his vote the other night to set the shift. All right, and as he pointed out in the beginning when he set this up, they knew they were going into the meeting. They were going to have to raise taxes, raise more revenue to cover the money that had been spent between the administration and the city council. That is, but he's taking your calls at 508-996-0500. You know, you got a great opportunity here to go to Shooting Supplies Black Friday sale. Their Black Friday sale. It's too big to fit into just one day. That's right. Shooting Supplies Black Friday sale is happening all week long. New items added every day with super duper specials for Black Friday and Saturday. Check out shootingsupply.com for the latest deals. Smith & Wesson guns are starting at just $399. A 12-gauge shotgun for only $149 at that price. Might as well get two, right? And the 9mm pistols are just $349. Plus, huge savings on ammunition. Don't miss out. Shooting Supply has all the best deals happening now. Go to shootingsupply.com or walk right into the store. Tell them Chris McCarthy sent you. Shooting Supply on State Road, Route 6 in Westport. We'll take a break and then we'll be right back. Stick around.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. Hey, if you're born to run and you want to run, at least run in a really well-running car, you got to bring it to Mac Auto Sales. 188 Rivet Street in the great city of New Bedford. This family-owned business repairs all makes and models of automobiles. So if you need to get your car ready for the coming cold weather, and I'm sure you do, call Mac Auto Sales and Repair. Make an appointment today, 508-565-6221. Open weekdays, 9 to 5. You have a foreign car, that's perfect. Tim Weisberg has a foreign car. He brings it to Mac Auto, says it rides like new now. We also bring the WBSM van there. Ask about their aftermarket accessories and their quality used cars for sale at Mac Auto Sales. We have Sean Oliver here in the studio. Sean, the new people that are coming into the council, Have you had an opportunity to, I know you've met with Ward 2, who's your neighbor, basically, in the city council, in the sense that your ward is right next to his, Scott Pemberton. But have you had an opportunity to meet with Scott on this?
I've spoken to Scott briefly since becoming the councilor-elect. Obviously, there was, I believe, myself and even most of my colleagues were maybe a little hesitant still, because obviously there was the recount that had to play out and stuff like that. So always kind of like a weird time, right? Is he going to be the new one?
Right.
Is the current counselor still there? So you're really not like, forging too much communication between.
Right.
But I knew Scott from before.
Sure.
Obviously, he's very active throughout the city with various neighborhood groups, helped Leo with starting his neighborhood group in Ward 1. He runs one for Ward 2. He does 50s Night. And he's the president of Neighborhoods United, which is a huge organizer for National Night Out.
Right.
So Scott's been around.
Yes.
I've known Scott. So I don't feel that. I feel like he'll hit the ground running.
I mean, I agree.
He's reached out to, I believe, most of our colleagues to, say hi and this and that. And I see that he's out there starting to take lunches with folks and really starting to kind of get those, relationships forged.
Yes.
So
you know what it's like to come in to an existing council.
And mine was even a little bit odd because that existing council was formed a year prior.
Right.
So I came in a mid-year.
That's right.
So he'll be able to come in at the beginning of a new term. The council, changed a little bit. About 20% of the council has changed with Council Morad not seeking re-election. I've spoken briefly with Mr. Roy. We never really had a relationship before.
Yeah.
Aside when I believe him and his wife and a few of their groups were against me in my campaign.
Right. The cadre.
Yeah. So gotta work on a relationship.
The Bolsheviks of New Bedford.
Gotta work on a relationship there, but. Yeah. I think I've shown the ability to work with pretty much anybody, whether you oppose me or not.
Right.
Because the city of New Bedford, the residents, the voters, have, for one reason or another, selected the 11 of us.
Yes.
To be put in that room and to come out with the best possible outcome for them. So I take that into consideration. It's not always coming from a place of objection, like, oh, this person's putting this up. I'm going to object to it, so it's really just trying to get that that communication piece, knowing where each other's coming from, and being able to support each other for common sense initiatives. So I look forward to doing that.
I met Scott again. Of course, I've known him. And he came out to my remote at Honeydew Donuts, which was great in the north end of New Bedford. Scott Pemberton came out. His mother was there. What a peach of a woman she is.
Yeah, she's very supportive.
Really?
She was a big piece in his in his election as well. She was out there knocking doors, even with a broken arm. So,
No more cruises for mom.
No, that's what she said. I read that in the light. I couldn't believe that she broke her arm twice, let alone in almost the same way.
Right. No. She is like, what a peach. I was so happy to meet her when she came out to Walter Moniz's Honeydew Donuts up there in the North End. We had a great remote that day. We've got some people on hold here who want to speak with you, Sean Oliver. Again, you can speak with Sean. Again, he voted. When he votes, he doesn't just vote for Ward 3. His vote covers the whole city of New Bedford. And as goes New Bedford, goes the region. So let's go to the phones here. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Counselor.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, good. I've watched you since you joined the council, and you're one of the hardest working and physically responsible members. And you're 100% right. Not enough cuts were made on cut night. And what you said today has a lot of merit. Trying to help New Bedford to apply, to have the ability to attract new businesses is needed. If we had a better tax rate, maybe why would it came to our city instead of Dartmouth and Bay Haven? But the bottom line is, hey, taxpayers have had enough, whether residential or commercial. So I suggest to some of these senior counselors.
Hey, caller, for some reason, I'm having a little bit of a problem. It could be on my end. It could be on your end. You always make a good point. Can you do me a favor and hang up and call back? Because we're getting static. I was getting
I thought it was
static.
I thought it was my headphones.
Yeah, no. I think it was maybe on his end. Could be on ours. Here he is, I think, again. Let's see if this sounds better. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Yeah.
That's great. Thank you.
All right. Listen. Like I was saying, I'm known you, Sean. You do a great job. What you said this morning has a lot of merit. New Bedford trying to help New Bedford have the ability to attract new businesses is needed. Perfect example is a Big Y going to Dartmouth and Fairhaven instead of coming to New Bedford. But the bottom line, taxpayers have had enough. For 10 years, we've been going through this. And what I would suggest is that I know you're going to do your job, but the senior counselors, County Gomes, Abram, Lopes, they got to get on board. We got to make cuts across the board in all departments and reduce the mayor's budget and provide relief to the taxpayers. We can't keep expanding government and spending money we don't have. And I support you and will continue to support you. I don't support new taxes, so you'll always hear that from me, but I always wish you well, and that's my rant for the day.
Thanks for the call, my friend.
No, well, thank you again, caller, for your words, and I know that you're always informed. You watch the meetings. You're an active participant in democracy in the city of New Bedford, but he's 100% right, Chris. Like I said, we need to vote yes on a lot of those cuts that get presented. Maybe we don't agree with them fully, but the taxpayers, whether it's commercial or residential, are definitely feeling it. And the only way that we're going to do that is by making some cuts. The money can be added if necessary, if the administration comes back and says, hey, yeah, the council was maybe a little bit reckless with this or a little bit too much here, and they can prove and plead their case. I was very frustrated when I woke up a couple of days ago and I saw that a company such as the Big Y is looking to do business in bordering towns.
Right.
Dartmouth.
Leases. They're coming.
Dartmouth and Fairhaven. You're telling me that it is cheaper to open two locations on the bookends of New Bedford, or it's more viable to open two locations in those communities.
And it may be less shoplifting,
and
too.
And instead of one location central in New Bedford, I'm sure that's part of it, too.
Yeah.
Loss prevention is definitely huge in any retail.
Yep.
But you're going to have two buildings, more employees, double the overhead, and it's still more lucrative than doing business in the city of New Bedford. I was absolutely floored when I saw that. I think my colleague from Ward 1 took the words out of my mouth before I could say it. The big why is why they didn't want to come to the city of New Bedford.
Right.
And it's a multitude of factors, but you have to absolutely consider that the tax rate is definitely a huge contributor to that. And finding that balance of, you can't always throw it on the commercial side. Yeah, the argument can be made, and I've made the argument on the council floor in 2023 when my first tax rate meeting, where yes, businesses can raise their products a dollar and do this or stay open more hours to try to make up the revenue, but you can't take that mindset all the time,
right?
So you have to find that shift. But like I said, when we started this, taxes will never decrease if spending increases, that's for sure.
508-996-0. You can get on the program this morning. Let's go back to the phones. We have Sean Oliver, Ward 3 City Council here. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Yeah, good morning, Chris. Good morning, Council Oliver.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hanging in there, trying to stay warm and trying to pay off my gas bill.
Yeah, I hear you.
Let me just say, Mayor Mitchell, since he came in 2012, our budget at the time was $279 million, was our operating budget. Under him, our city budget has ballooned $281 on top of that. Next year will be $560 million. This mayor, too, needs to be a team player and help reduce the taxes so we can get more businesses in here. It's kind of hard to do when you got a mayor that wants to just spend money year over year. How much are we getting in tax revenue overall in the city? Property taxes, corporate tax, excise tax. How much are we getting in a year on tax revenue?
That's quite a question, sir. I know the counselor will be able to develop an answer here for you.
Yeah, but Mike Jansen had it the other day.
No, I know.
He said he did the math. It doesn't pan out. He says we have $150 million shortfall.
I get all that. Listen, what I'm saying is that when you call up and ask a man a numbers question like that to develop off the top of his head, Mike Jansen very well had notes in front of him. The man is sitting here in my studio. And so, you know, when you ask a detailed question like that, I'd be surprised if he can come up with an answer, but maybe he can.
Well, we'll find. I'll definitely get that answer. Hold on a second. I had some notes that I had written down. So, like you said, half of our money will come back in local aid. We're probably making up. Hold on a second. I have it here. Municipal receipts. Well, this doesn't make for good radio, so as soon as I get it, Chris, right. I'll let that gentleman know.
And again, guys, anybody can ask a question. I mean, you can't ask him. I mean, come on, that's ridiculous.
But he is 100% right.
Yes.
You know, obviously, we have to raise from the taxes because our local receipts and things aren't enough, right?
The state aid.
Correct. State aid and...
On this position, you and the mayor are identical, right?
Correct. Actually,
you sent a letter.
I sent a letter as well. I've spoken with... Mark Montigny, I've spoken with Chris Hendricks, I've spoken with Tony Cabral about it. I've sent letters to the delegation. And, you know, they're aware. I know Representative Cabral was trying to do commission a study or something like that to see about the funding model. I don't think that grew legs that time when he attempted to do that.
Right.
But it definitely needs to be addressed because... I'm not. It's even though that we have shortfalls in that, it's that funding model benefits cities like New Bedford. We're not so much like Acushnet or Freetown
or Fairhaven.
So we are still on the better end of state aid coming, but it still hasn't reached the levels. It's only now reaching the levels that it was back in 2008.
Right.
So that model hasn't changed yet to keep up with inflation. And but everything else, yes, spending has increased, and I'm not here to hold the mayor's coattails at all. The budget has increased. Part of that, most of that, is inflation, but new departments, new employees, things like that. But generally, things cost more, and the money coming back from the state isn't enough. But we're paying it.
Right. 508-996-0500. We're Ward 3 City Councilor here in the studio. But again, It really all comes down to the cut night, how the budget is handled by the city council and the mayor, as to what they have to raise to cover it. Because you have to have a balanced budget.
No, absolutely.
You have to cover what you spend.
Absolutely. You know, and
you can't be here and say, oh, hey, I want to take care of this department, that department, or, oh, boy, I love this group and that group, and then go back into the taxpayer and say, oh, I don't know why it's like this.
Right. You can't go in there with the mindset that, like, three quarters of the budget is untouchable.
Right.
The election was going on, the New Bedford Light did some pieces on, and they asked a tax question.
Yes.
About the budget and things like that. And there's only maybe a couple of folks that participated in that said nothing's untouchable.
Right.
Everything is on the table. And
right.
That's how you have to address it. When you start saying, I can't touch this, or I'm not going to touch that, or I absolutely won't touch that, you're already behind the eight ball.
Right.
So where are you going to make those cuts? You know, we're in that room and we're making, you know, minimal cuts. You need to cut deep. And like I said, say yes that night. And if we have to reverse ourselves or put money back,
right,
we're more than able to do that.
Chris Cotta said that nothing's off the table, and I thought that was a pretty bold statement by the council, by the school committee member who ran for city council large. He did not make it all the way. Maybe he'll come back again. All right, Sean, we got people on hold who want to speak with you. I think it was one of your constituents. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Scott. Good morning, Chris. How you doing?
Doing great.
Yeah, good. And Sean, actually, sorry about that.
That's okay. It happens.
I was thinking about the other gentleman that's just on.
It'll be interesting this year. I normally get Sean, Shane, Shane, Sean. We get that. So right. now with Scott.
What's happening?
Yeah, Chris threw me off. I had to give him a zinger there, but that's okay. But as always, Sean, doing a great job. The other thing, besides the whole tax situation on the commercial and development end, is the issue that I hear from a lot of the folks that I deal with developing properties is that it's really hard to do business in New Bedford. It really is. From the building department to the planning, and there's just a lot more thrown in their way. And I think we have to also concentrate on that aspect of the process. Sean, to make you aware of that, because that's what I hear in the trenches on a day-to-day. Mm-hmm. There's so many that just don't want to do business with New Bedford because it is hard to do business in New Bedford at the various departments. At that level, we really need to do something about that.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, no,
thank you.
Absolutely. That call is 100% right, and it's something that I know I've heard. I know that a number of my colleagues have heard because we were at a recent meeting of the local landlords association.
Okay.
Some of the, you know, most
the housing
of,
providers.
Yeah, most of the housing providers, have taken it into their hands to provide housing in one way or another. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an investment. Yes, they make money off of it. That's the business that they're in.
Yeah,
but they still provide a significant amount of housing in the city of New Bedford. And we were able to, I believe it was myself, Councillor Choquette, Councillor Abreu, and Councillor Carney, who attended the meeting of landlords at the hotel in Ward 3, the Whalers Inn.
Yes.
And they do a monthly meeting there, and they discuss, they bring in guest speakers, mortgage brokers, construction, C2S Energy was there.
Oh, good.
You know, so they bring these folks together that provide most of the housing in the city of New Bedford, and that is exactly what we heard that night. There was one developer there. They have two identical projects. One is in New Bedford, and the other one is in Fall River. And the one in New Bedford was filed first, and the one in Fall River was filed shortly after. They got that built, their building permits and stuff in 3 days. It was 45 days for this in the city of New Bedford.
And that's incredible.
And they still hadn't received their permit. There's some things that we can look at. Danny Romanowicz does a great job. And you can drive by at any point in the night and you'll see his light on in his office. That guy works. He's probably the hardest working government employee that the city of New Bedford has. But with the city of New Bedford redeveloping in a way that's probably a little bit more cumbersome than in previous years, it's time to really take a look and see how we can streamline that department, make it easier, use technology to better serve those, because 3 days to 40 days, that's thousands of dollars to developers.
Yeah, that's really, that's crazy. And it could be legitimate on both sides, obviously. But
100%.
You know, 100%. Just hearing about it now, that's a shocking, shocking difference in time. All right, I got to take a break, and then we'll be right back, folks. We have Sean Oliver here, Ward 3 City Council. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to you in a moment. We're going to be right back.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
We Welcome back to the program. You know, upgrading your home's energy efficiency can feel overwhelming, but with C2S Energy, you don't have to go it alone. Their certified experts handle everything from assessing your home to recommending the right solutions, whether it's insulation, windows, roofing, or high-efficiency heat pumps. They even navigate the rebate process for you, making it simple to qualify for savings up to $16,000. Trust the team that knows the programs, the products, and how to maximize your comfort and your savings. Visit C2SEnergy.com and let C2S Energy do the heavy lifting. We have Ward 3 City Councilor Sean Oliver in here. Sean, we're going to go right back to the phone.
Sure, I love it.
Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, hello.
Okay, let's go right to the cause of the problem. John Mitchell, you got to get rid of him as mayor. This other stuff about, you know, the state doesn't give us any money. No kidding. You just found that out now, John? You know, you've been there for over a decade. And you just found out that the state doesn't give us enough money. He's got to go. He brought in this four-year term, which allows him to thumb his nose at everybody. And that's good because he's got his thumb on his nose. He's got four fingers for the 4 years that he can wave at you. He's got to go. You got to get somebody to run for mayor who's going to say, I'm going to cut the budget. Because you guys, I watch you on TV, you all try very hard, but you don't have the power to cut that budget enough. And then as Renee Fernandez brought out when she was on Chris's show, to cut the budget and then during the year to just have him come back and put it back in, you're not cutting any budget. So you don't have the power. I don't knock you guys. You guys work very hard there, but he's got you chasing your tails, you know. And the thing that's going to happen is somebody's going to run for mayor. Maybe it'll be you, Sean, that says, I get in there, I'm going to cut the budget. Because I know, like me, when I retired, I couldn't live the same way that I live now because I got a fixed income. So things had to be cut. Mm-hmm. My heat had to be put down. I drive an old car. I try to get it fixed, get by. And that's what the city's going to do. You know, you got this advanced, all this other stuff, advanced manufacturing or whatever park he's going to have. Gee, you could have told the Y there, Big Y, to come in there and put a supermarket there, you know. Again, he's got to go. And he brought a guy in from Timbuktu who was able to change the law, which I even doubt if that was legal under the plan that we got, the charter. But nonetheless, and then the guy takes off to Europe, you know.
The four-year term you're talking about.
The mayor's thing is going to go down to two years. So in the future, when Mitchell does leave, you'll have somebody go in there for 4 years and just do the same thing, you know. So I watch you guys. I respect you guys for what you try to do. But you're not like Elon Musk. You don't have a chainsaw to cut the budget. All you got is a little, jackknife.
Thank you for the call, my friend. What about the four-year term? Are you open to bringing it back, putting it on the ballot to bring it back to 2 years?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously, I didn't support it when it was coming to be in the first place. And part of the same mentality that I believe former Mayor Lang is. If you're doing the job, doesn't matter if you're, you know, in there for 2 years or 4 years, as long as you're doing your job, you're campaigning every day, mm-hmm. you're doing your job every day, and the voters will reward you
yes.
with re-election. So good, so long as you're holding up your end of the bargain, mm-hmm. right? With the four-year term, sometimes people's memories get a little foggy. They forgot 3 years ago when you voted or did something, and there's only, you know, some stuff that's fresh and
right.
on their mind right now, and they forgot about whatever it was that they were mad at you for 3 years ago. So the two-year term keeps the voters on their toes. It mm-hmm. keeps the elected official on their toes, and it allows the city to pivot if it needs to.
Right.
With that being said, it would still have to go to either a charter change or a ballot initiative.
Of yes.
I believe the same way that it got on is the same way that it has to come off.
Okay, so you need to get signatures.
So because it was a ballot initiative, I believe that it would have to be a ballot initiative that it would reverse it.
Okay.
There might be some appetite for that Most of that stuff comes from the public, not so much the elected leaders.
Well, you got a lot of people in that city council that imagine they're going to be the next mayor. So they don't want to change it because they don't want to have 2-year terms. They want 4 years.
And then he's 100% right. And what I'm fearful of is that maybe a candidate in the future I wouldn't personally agree with or something like that just runs on a platform of lowering taxes, lowering taxes, lowering taxes. And then they get in and then there's a whole other agenda around that too. So I think that the voters are smart enough to do the work, but they have to see that, you know, it's not just the lowering taxes aspect, because I'm fearful that if somebody just runs on that platform, they may get in and they might actually hurt us more than they would help us.
Hold on. Let's come back here. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Morning.
Morning.
Driving the city's homeowners right out of the city and out of the state. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves.
All right. Thank you for the call,
thank
sir.
Thank you for that.
We're going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back. Stick around here on the program. We'll be right back. Go ahead, respond.
Thanks, Chris. You know, I'm very proud of the work that I do. You know, some people might not agree with the outcome sometimes, but that caller is not wrong, right? You know, any little thing can be the final straw for any ratepayer, commercial or residential. And this year, we tried to find the balance due to the obviously the budget that was presented and then finally passed. We weren't able to stop that increase regardless. But when we were talking about increases to the residential ratepayer, they were walking into a $140 increase right off the rip.
Yep.
What we were doing that on Tuesday night was, is it going to be an additional $10 on top of that or an additional $50 on top of that?
Right.
We landed somewhere in the middle. But for the commercial payer, right, who has the ability to up and leave quicker than a residential payer, they were looking at their taxes going up, and then on top of that, an additional $100 to $800.
Right.
So that's what we were really voting on as well, is not burying the commercial tax base, because those folks have the ability to leave even quicker, because most of them don't own
the property. And you have other cities in Bristol County trying to lure them.
Oh, absolutely. It's been, I know for a fact that Taunton has been down here.
Yes.
So do we. Taunton's been down here trying to poach our local businesses. They've been revitalizing their Taunton Green area.
Yep.
Not too many empty storefronts there now. So other cities and towns are looking to New Bedford to grab some of these folks. Sometimes they're successful, sometimes they're not. But along with a new administration, most likely is going to be a new economic development council, too. So think of that as well.
We have other people on hold. Want to speak with Sean Oliver. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome.
Hey, Sean. How's it going?
How you doing, George? Good to hear your voice.
Did you hear about what happened at the church this past week?
No, I did not.
There was a young man, and I guess the police were chasing him, and he turned into that open driveway at the where the parish is between the center and the rectory.
Yes.
And he crashed into one of the poles that Father Mike had put into the ground.
Yeah.
I think it was for an electrical source to increase the ability of the electricity.
Yeah.
And he hit that pole, and the car went out of control. But the police got him. It was a young man, and it was his mother's car, from what I was told.
Was he evading police, or was he doing something in the parking
lot? Yeah, he was running. He was zooming away from the police, and he turned into there and crashed right into that pole. So...
Well, luckily they got him. That's one of the other reasons why chasing some of the folks on mopeds and things like that gets so, is a touchy subject, because they're already not following the rules and the laws. And by chasing them, you're putting the public and themselves at greater risk. So, but I'm glad that they caught him, George. Thank you for